Bless the wonderful name of Jesus.
Yes.
No other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow,
yes,
and every tongue must confess as Lord to the glory of God the Father. He stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, slave, and that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even death of the cross. That's why. Because he stooped so low, God the Father has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves, that you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world, holding out to it and offering to all men the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have something of which exultantly to rejoice and glory in, that I did not run my race in vain, or spend my labor to no purpose. Even if my lifeblood must be poured out as a libation on the sacrificial offering of your faith to God, still I am glad to do it and congratulate you on all your share in it. And you also, in like manner, be glad and congratulate me on my share in it. Father, your word is so good. Sweeter than honeycomb to our mouths, and we just taste and see how good you are. Father, breathe the breath of life upon your word, that your word may come alive within each and every one of us. That your word is not dormant within us, but vibrant and active and budding and flourishing and prospering in each and every one of us. To the extent of which you have sent forth your word, not to return to you void, but to accomplish what you please in us and to prosper in that which you delight in and which you have sent it to. You've sent your word to bless and to curse not. You've sent your word to build up and to edify. You've sent your word, Lord God, to fix that which is broken. You've sent your word, Father, to give us a do-over, a makeover. You sent your word to transform us and renew us. You sent your word to change us and cause us to grow with the increase that comes from you. You sent your word, Father, as seed to be planted in the fertile soils of our heart, where it is there mixed with our faith and confidence in you, that what you have said you will do, what you have spoken you will make it good. You will bring things to pass, Lord God, whether it looks like it in the natural or looks totally against what your word has said. We understand and believe against all odds. That your word will prevail in us. Your word will prevail on our behalf. Your word, Father, is not coming back to you empty and unfulfilled, saying, I couldn't do it, I couldn't complete it, I'm sorry, I didn't, you know, they. No, your word is gonna come back to you saying, it is done, it is finished, mission accomplished. Your word is not going to fail us, not in this time and not in any other time. For the people that know their God, they shall be strong and carry out exploits for you. We honor you, we honor you, we honor you, we honor you, and we exalt your word, and we exalt you, Jesus. By the Holy Ghost, search every heart and mind that is in this place tonight. And reveal, speak, confirm, give directions, grant wisdom. Release the power of understanding in our midst tonight. None of us are ignorant. None of us are lacking. That none of us are famished when we sit at your table, Lord God. We don't walk away starving, but fed at the table of the Lord. Father, we thank you for revealing yourself in your word as Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals us. And Father, as we've been bringing this young man before you, William, covering him in the blood, standing in agreement with his mom, Sister Patty, we pray for divine intervention tonight as the doctors have decided their plan of treatment and execution against the sickness in his physical body. We come into agreement, Father, that you will prevail in this matter and you will have the last say. Do a complete work in his life, Father God. May his ears be open and attentive to the voice of your Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that he still has that fighting spirit to live. And may his heart mindset be to live for your glory, not just to exist in the earth and not to spend wasteful years of life going in a vicious circle, aimlessly, hopelessly, without hope and without God, but Father, divine intervention that raises him up. And he says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That he commits his remaining days here on earth unto you. In Jesus' name, we speak to the death angel and we command you in the name of Jesus to stop, cease your assignment. Is canceled. We speak life into his body. We speak life into his soul. We speak life into his spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, make William whole. HLH, TB, and every other sickness and affliction that has come upon him, we speak to you now and we come against you in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, the power and the authority in that name. We command you to go, flee his physical body. Flee his mind, his brain. Flee his soul. Father, we cover this young man in the precious blood of the Lamb. That he would go from cursing to praising. He would go from anger to joy. Father, he would go from confusion to total and complete peace. Peace that guards his heart. Peace that guards his mind. Peace that brings comfort to his soul. In the name of Jesus. At this plan of treatment will not cause his organs to collapse, but that you would cause his organs to come alive. We speak in Jesus' name to the bones and the marrow. We speak to the blood, to the heart. We speak to you, come alive. Jesus, come alive. Come alive and circulate fresh blood, clean blood, blood that fights against sickness and disease, blood that brings life to every component of the body, blood that circulates to the lungs, blood that circulates throughout the chest area, circulating down to the legs and the arms and to the brain. Send fresh blood as we cover him in the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In Jesus' mighty name, we love you, Lord. We love you, we love you. We praise you. We lift up a praise because you are awesome and you are mighty. That you'll strengthen the family. You'll keep them at perfect peace as they keep their minds stayed on you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. We do magnify your name, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Welcome, everyone, in Jesus' name, amen. It's a blessing to see all of you out tonight. Thank you, amen. Hallelujah. I'll give everybody else a chance. It's a blessing to see you all tonight.
Blessing to see you too, Pastor.
All right. Praise God. Make a pastor feel welcome. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of Jesus. Let's get ready to honor the Lord with our giving. And as we get ready to honor him, we also celebrate victories. Give God thanks and praise for what he has been doing, because he continues to move mightily. Jesus, somebody disrupted my day today, the nerves of some people. And they sent me this email. Praise the Lord, Pastor. That's a good greeting. Just wanted to share with you something that happened. So as you know, there was a time when I was looking for work, but kept getting denied right after I took their assessment tests. Never made it to the interview step. I hope they don't mind me sharing this. A couple of those places was Lowe's and Chase Bank. Well, about 2 weeks ago, I applied for Lowe's again, took the test, and passed. Praise God. Congratulations. I interviewed with them yesterday. Chase themselves contacted me Monday to apply for a position. They were aware that I failed the test last year, but gave me the chance to retake it. Well, I took the test today and passed. Isn't that something? Glory to God. What a difference. He's the God of opportunities. He's the God of a first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, 12th, 13th chance. You don't have to go through that many, but he's just that good. I got a phone call, an email congratulating me from the recruiter. I will have my face-to-face interview next week with Chase. And I will know if I got the job at Lowe's by the beginning of next week. All the doors that were closed are being opened up. Come on, Jesus. Come on and give him praise.
Hallelujah.
Come on and give him praise.
Hallelujah. Woo!
Jesus. Jesus is Lord. I want to share something with you, and it's something that just stood out just now. I'm going to find it. Give me a little bit of time. Jesus. 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 This is important, and it's worth the wait. One translation says it's just slightly different, but I just saw this, and I know what was happening this morning and what happened last night. Last night, Pastor C and I were ministering to this precious couple, and while praying, a word came up out of my spirit. And that very word that came up out of my spirit was a part of my morning daily reading of the Word of God. And as I was reading, I'm like, amen. Glory to God. And so even with this email that I just read to you, you may not think much of it, but I'm telling you, you better grab hold of it with faith. She says here, all the doors that were closed are being opened up. And this morning as I was reading, it stood out to me. And it's dealing with Elisha and the woman, the Shunammite woman. And it says this. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. King James, for there. And it fell on a day that he came thither. And he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. Say, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And this was the verse that stood out. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And I believe it's the Message Bible that says she stood at the open door. And when I read that, I thought about what Pastor Rod had declared concerning 2014. The year of the open door. And so that just kept ringing in my spirit, the year of the open door. The year of the, as I read this passage here, she stood in the doorway. And Pastor Roth, that was one of the things that he was sharing back in March when I was down there. Who's gonna stand in the doorway for God to bless? Who's gonna stand in the doorway? This woman came and stood in the doorway. And he told her, you want to know what he told her? And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Y'all better take that word. Run with it. The year of the open door. And some things you've been believing for. By this time next year, just make sure you're in the doorway. Make sure you're in the place that you're supposed to be to receive, because God's about to do some incredible things. I'll just speak it as it comes. I'm not trying to say, use words to stimulate you. Preferably they do stimulate your faith, but nothing to tickle your ears, if you will. But God's doing some incredible things, and we ain't seen nothing yet, and it's going to get better. Praise God. The open door by this time next year. Watch in Jesus' mighty name. If you appreciate that and you receive that, give the Lord a hand of praise. The open door. And by this time next year, hallelujah. All right. Well, has everyone given? AOH, do you have money to present to the Lord that you'd like to worship the Father in your giving? Or if you don't have any, then you can go ahead and be dismissed. Come on and honor the Lord in your giving. Bless as you have been blessed. Give as it has been given unto you. The good measure, the press down, the shaking together, the running over. God's going to cause men to give back into your bosom. With the measure you meet, it's going to be measured right back unto you. I received the word Monday night. Family we had prayed for the sale of the home. And at the end of it, Lord give him three offers. Monday night he said he got three offers. Then he texts me today saying, Pastor, I got a fourth offer. Our God is a God who's more than enough. Amen. 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 You cannot beat God giving. He's too much, more than enough. He'll give you double for your trouble. In that matchless name, if you have your Bibles with you, open them up to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 3. Back it up to chapter 2. And then we'll move into chapter 3. Hallelujah. Do we have any praise reports or testimonies tonight? I didn't see any cards come in other than a prayer request. Praise God. Well, Father, we got to. Got to have a meeting. Because you're doing too much. Proverbs chapter 2. You guys okay back there? Oh, there's a delayed response. You know, it's like one of those calls in the basketball game or something where, you know, seconds later after the foul. Come on, take it, Kingdom. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen. So be it, Lord. So be it. Uh-oh. Did you take a picture? Was a flag in there? Never mind. That's side trip secret. Oh, praise God. Bless God. I have to tell you, the birthdays get better and better. 55th was great. It was wonderful. And I thank you for all of the love and support that you showed. The Facebook happy birthdays and, happy birthday to the best pastor in all the world. And the text that came across and things like that. Some I tried to get back to all. And if I didn't get back to you, hopefully I can get to you this week. It may be something general. It may be something specifically. But I definitely want to thank each and every one of you who showed your love during that time. It's a great celebration. Yes, everything was. And I don't need to go into all of the details, but I'm telling you, I am one blessed man. Hallelujah. I receive all the love that was manifest. Praise God. My lovely wife, who we try and make our birthday special and celebrate it for a week long, and all the way up, just continuing to do things that just made me say, praise God. I'm a blessed man. Hallelujah. So thank you. Thank you for your gifts, financial, material. Thank you. Thank you for the text and everything. Thank you. Praise God. All right. Proverbs chapter 2. I don't know if we read this, but if we did, forgive me because I'm going to read it again. Verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. Now, mind you, he's saying my son, but we're all sons of God. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, for as many as received him being Jesus, to them he gave the power of attorney or the divine right to become the sons of God, even to those that would believe on his name. So I say that to say this, even though it says my son, you can take it as my daughter if you're female. It's not just to men only. It's to the women as well. My son, if is a conjunction, which means it's dependent upon what's about to be said. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. There's an if in there. If you do this. Yea, verse 3, if. Look at your neighbor and say, if. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If, there's another if, say there's another if. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then, I want to emphasize these words, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's where wisdom begins. We've talked about that these last few weeks. The beginning of wisdom, where wisdom starts, is your reverential fear of God. Well, I know some people that are smart, but they, you know, they don't fear God. They don't serve God. They ain't got the wisdom that the Word of God is talking about. There's some earthly wisdom that's sensual and demonic in its workings. It's demonic because it leads people away from God and doesn't bring them to God. There's some good things that go on in this earth, but just because they're good don't mean that it's God. God told us not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of and. Okay, so we don't need to just look at that tree as if it's just evil. It's the tree of knowledge, but it's the knowledge of good and evil, and it's the one that God says don't partake of. So there are some things that may be good in society, but God says don't partake in it. Leave it alone. Yeah, but it make me feel good. Leave it alone. Yeah, but it makes me look good. Leave it alone. Yeah, but they knew what was going on in my life. Leave it alone. Anybody remember? Call me now. Who's calling me now? Yeah, Cleo. She used to be a lady on TV. Call me now. And people calling up. But she told me some things, and they were good. God says, leave it alone. There were two trees that God highlighted that were in the garden. One was a tree of knowledge. The other was a tree of life. Because they didn't go for the tree of life first, but went for the tree of knowledge, they not only violated God's will, his word, but they gave way to death and sin and separation from God. You've heard me say it before, but it's worthy of repeating. And I said something similar just a little while ago. But a prophet by the name of Randy Schenkel, and whether he's still prophesying or not, I don't know. I know at that time he was locked into God. And he made this statement. He shared it on TBN back in the day. He says, you can choose good and miss God just by one too many zeros. Everything that is good is not God. There are some things in this world that are good, but they're not God. Why am I being redundant, repeating myself over and over and over again? Because we as the people of God have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We have to understand what it is out there and then still be able to discern between good and evil, holy and unholy, clean and unclean. And there's a lot of things that we might want to cling to, but God says it ain't good. And we say, well, you know, make me feel good, make me look good. They tell me some things about me that really, you know, was really inspirational. I was really moved. There's good teaching and there's bad teaching. Wisdom will help us to make the right choice. To every situation, there's always a right answer. To every situation, there's always a right thing to do. In the busyness of life, with all of the voices and everything else going on, y'all got to pray. We need some more room. We do? Yeah, we do. We do. We need some more room. We need to be able to break down and address our young ones on a separate level and things like that. And we're just trying to figure out how we're going to do this. So you pray. Not right now, but you pray about that. Amen. Put that in your on your prayer list. Lord, we need some more room. Help us figure this one out. So, we have to exercise the wisdom of God. There's the earthly wisdom. There's godly wisdom. God considers the wisdom of this world as foolishness. No matter how many degrees that follow behind the name of that person that people might think is wise. Socrates and Plato, Aristotle, and some of these other philosophers and all. Those that, you know, many look up to and still study their teachings, if you will, this day. Buddha and all of them. They did some good things for people. But if it didn't bring them to Jesus, which brings us to the Father, no matter how good it is, God says, uh-uh, not for you. So getting back, wisdom of this world is foolishness towards God, and it is the foolish things that man would consider as foolish, but it's wiser than all the wisdom of man put together. We can look at that shortly if time permits. I have all of 8 minutes left. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, or treasure them within your heart, and that's what the Amplified says, if you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments. God likens his word to treasure, gold, silver, precious gems. He says, that's how valuable my word is. It's more valuable than rubies, if you will. God says, my word is, you can't even place a value on it. My words will give you superior wisdom, superior knowledge, superior understanding. You'll understand life and what life is all about. And that means more to God than a rocket scientist designing a rocket or designing something that we would all stand back and say, oh, wow, or creating different things that would amuse and amaze us. God says, well, he may not say it like that, but you know. It's like it's rubbish in his eyesight. And I'm not trying to belittle that, because there are things that, as far as science, as far as technology and stuff like that, I mean, you think about it. I mean, this smartphone here, what you can do with it. I only scratched the surface of the capabilities of this thing, and I've already blown it. By blown it, I mean this thing is acting crazy now. That's why I couldn't get back to some of you, because it just, you know, it's too smart for its own self. You know, I'm using it for GPS and stuff, and then Pastor Lucia can tell you, we drive about, you know, 50 feet, and then it just goes on the blink. It freezes up on me. It's just got too much power in it. But it's amazing what this thing can do. It's amazing the pictures it can take. I mean, with this phone, I could call people. With this phone, I could take pictures. With this phone, I could take notes. With this phone, I could record. With this phone, I can do so many things with it. So that's amazing. That's mind-blowing that we could put that kind of information and, you know, technology in a little bitty thing like this. Do you know what the first computers looked like? They were gross. They took room. Yes. Big, massive things. This probably has more memory than those huge what's the name of them, Brother Vincent? The mainframes, yes. Thank you. Mainframe. This probably has more power than those mainframes. And you had to have air conditioners in the room to keep them cool. Tapes and things like that. And this one little gadget is more powerful than that. I think they had an article about some of the stuff that today's technology is so powerful compared to what it was before. I mean, how many of you remember having a computer that had 40 megabytes of disk space? Keeping information on a floppy disk, a disk that flopped. Amen? So it's all advanced, and that's good, and it makes life more convenient for us. But when it comes to God, God is like this, but I'm into life itself. I'm into your existence. Where I'm going to take you to, I will blow your mind. You haven't seen anything. But God is like, I want to show you what life is really all about. I want to show you about living from day to day, how to live right. how to live as I would live if I was dressed up in a zoot suit like you are, called a body. Show you what life is truly all about. Right now, your life is all about being saved and getting as many people as you possibly can get saved as well. We want to empty out hell's camp and fill up God's camp. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why we take the terminology and we use it to build God's kingdom. We take the funds that we make on these big salaries that many are earning, and you are earning, because you still, you might feel like you're in poverty, but you're still, you know, wealthier than many people. You're still in the top, I think it's top 26% of the wealthiest people in the world. At $10 an hour ain't so bad now. I'm wealthy? Only reason you believe you're poor is because somebody told you you were poor. God keeps trying to tell us we're rich, and we still say that we're poor because we base it based on what we have in this natural realm. And God says, you ain't seen what I got upstairs. You don't see what I have in my room. You don't see what I have in my possession. Hallelujah. Am I making any sense? So God says, my word is like treasure if you will seek after it. If you will incline your ear to wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God. How do I do that? When you're reading your word, when you're sitting in this place and you're listening, when iron is sharpening iron, you're talking with your brother or your sister in the Lord, if they are spirit-filled, I mean, you can't find anyone better, and it's not comparing, competing, competition, and things like that, but there's nothing like having a spirit-filled believer as a faithful companion or friend, if you will, a comrade, if you will, someone that'll be in the trenches with you, someone that'll be on the mountaintop with you. But there's nothing like having a spirit-filled believer that you can bump, you know, and sharpen each other with. They could speak to you a word in due season, because you may not see or understand everything that's going on, but God can give them a word. It might be overwhelming for you. Your mind, your thoughts aren't clear and aren't straight, but somebody else can come in by the Spirit of God and tell you, boom. And it's like, man, that was just the word I need. Boy, these are the times of refreshing. Now the presence of the Lord can just fill this place. Am I making any kind of sense? Yeah. It's nothing like having a spirit-filled believer. We don't need no dry saints in this hour. We need some spirit-filled, spirit-led sons and daughters of the Most High God who carry the word of God and the anointing of God and the favor of God on their lives. Listen to this, because this is how God wants us to be after him. If thou criest after knowledge, what does the word criest mean to you? How about cry? Come on. Who said something? Somebody was talking. Brother Vincent. Call out. Everybody agree with that? Call out? All right, what's call out? Ask for? Okay, say something. Do something, say something. How about Jesus? Is that crying out? Yeah, it probably blew some ears out too. Is that crying out? How about Lord Jesus? Is that crying out? But I think you hit it when you said, say something. Don't just be silent. Because wisdom is right in the vicinity. It's right there. But you got to act. You got to say. You got to do something. Say something. I'm trying to figure it all out, trying to figure it all out, trying to figure it all out. Stop. Stop. And say, Lord, show me. Speak to me. Talk to me. Reveal to me. Let me quit trying to figure it all out, because my figuring ain't adding up. 2 plus 2 ain't 4 in this situation here. What makes sense to my natural mind is not solving the problem, so let me go beyond myself. Let me cry out. If you cry out after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures. Now, what does that mean to you? Search for her as hidden treasures or seek her as silver. Go after. It just ain't on the surface. You know, it might be in some places, but even those, you got to find out where it is. If gold was everywhere, I'd have the worst time getting people to come to church. I'm loading up on this gold, Pastor. I'm going to buy you a church in a bit, but let me just keep, because there's so much gold right here. But you got to go after it. You got to pan for it. You got to go into mines. You got to go into dangerous places in order to obtain it. You just don't. I was out there looking today and I didn't find any, so I give up. No. You ain't heard that old phrase, there's gold in them there hills. You keep digging, you keep searching, you keep going until you find. And that's how God says concerning his word. Consider it more value. That's what I was talking about on Sunday. You know, your tithes and your offerings and gifts of love, that's all based on your value system of how much you value God. You know, your honor system of how much you really honor him. Let's just take Old Testament, New Testament out of the equation, and let's just accept the principle of tithing or the principle of honoring God, the principle of bestowing value on him. Let's bring that into the equation, and then let's see, what do we come up with? I mean, if we have a cheap mindset and mentality, we're not going to think too much of God. And so, you know, we'll ask him for everything and then give him a little thing. But if we honor him truly, if we esteem value on him, because the way he wants us to be towards him is he's the most valuable, most important person in our lives. And he's not just a human, he's not a human being, he's God, he's a spirit. But he wants to be number one, second to none, which means he wants us to really bestow honor on him. And so we demonstrate, because you don't get many ways of expressing your appreciation of God other than the praise and worship, and God is like, I can get that all day. Praise God. And that's not belittling our praise, because we're created to praise him. We're made to praise him. But when we start to release honor on him with our substance, anybody can sing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, and what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Anyone can sing that. Secular people can sing Amazing Grace. But then when it comes to our substance, what we have, you know, because really, everything that we have is his. And so, if we gave everything to him, we'd still be coming up short. But God says this, let me teach you about what honors me. This will honor me. Let me teach you about value. Let me show you how much you love me. You don't love me by saying you love me. You love me by honoring what I tell you. You don't rationalize it or reason it away. You don't even question me as if, Lord, is that right for today or not? I say that because there's teachings coming out throughout the body of Christ now. And I mean, they load up. I mean, this guy, one guy had scriptures. I mean, he was just going in. detail after detail after detail after detail of how tithing is Old Testament, Old Covenant, and it's not right for today. And now God just wants you to just give, you know, give as you have been blessed, if you will, and rightly so as you've been blessed. But they want to make it seem like no. And it's like, okay, how are you going to pay the light bills? How are you going to pay the mortgage? How are you going to pay the rent? How are you going to pay for that place that you go to and milk and soak and pull on if people don't honor God? It's helping to build and establish his kingdom. It's a word of wisdom. It's a word of knowledge. It's a word of truth. It's God's way of doing things in the earth. Listen to this, verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And you know, it may look like, well, this is all work, but it's not work. It's just the pathway. If we do nothing, we can expect nothing. Amen? Get a job and don't show up to work. You won't have that job very long. You have to get up and you have to go and you have to be there at a certain time and do certain things. And we have no problems with that because at the end of the week, end of 2 weeks, end of the month, we get a paycheck, which makes us happy. So we'll endure all kinds of stuff while we're going to that place because they give us a paycheck. God gives us life. He gives us life and the opportunity to come before him every morning, afternoon and evening, as oft as we want to. He gives us that privilege, that right, that open door of access to go before him. And God is like, he makes it worth our while. It'd be one thing if all of it was just, you know, like in Egypt, bondage, do this, do this, do this, do this. That's not how God operates. He's like, come. I welcome you. Come. I beckon you to come. Come. Come after me. Seek me like you seek silver. Seek me more than what you're seeking out there in the world. You'll find me. You'll find and understand the fear of God. For verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Is he not making it worth our while? Would you not want the Lord to keep your path or, you know, to keep you on the path and preserve you? Would you not want the Lord to grant you wisdom and be your buckler to protect you? Then shalt thou, verse 9, understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. What is discretion? The ability to make responsible decisions. Amen. Everybody agree with that? Y'all ready to go home? Okay. It's 8:40. Stand to your feet. All right. Your facial expressions say, I want to go home now. Listen, discretion. What is discretion? Discretion is being able to sift through all of the clutter, all of the mess, and make the right decisions, to be discreet about something. It's not so much as being secretive about something, but it's the ability to just make the right choice. Brother Vincent. It's a know when to release the information. Good. Praise God. Amen. And so God says, I will give you discretion to be discreet, to know what not to get involved in and what to get involved in. that ability to make the right choices in life. Because as I said, in every situation, there's a right answer. There's a right choice. There's a right decision. Wisdom is right there. Even if it's chaotic and messy, wisdom is still there. Cry out for the wisdom of God. Seek after her as silver. There's a right answer. There's a wrong answer. We do not want to make the wrong answers anymore. Amen? You know, when we're children, we make bad decisions, bad choices. When we get older, we should learn from those bad choices that we have made. Some of us, we still make the same bad choices over and over. And some of us, we make new bad choices. But the thing of it is wisdom will give us discretion. God will give us discretion in order to be able to say, discerning, that's not right. That's not God. Yeah, but everything seems good. Look, we'll give you this. We'll give you that. We'll give you all of these things. Yeah, but you also give me that right there. And that right there is the 3% of strychnine that makes all the oatmeal bad. Father, huh? Don't take the bait. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you. Stand to your feet. I don't know. Did we not turn the AC on, or is the AC it's okay now, Dick and Patton. We're all well panting like dogs. praise God. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can have joy in you. We thank you that we know you. I thank you for this group of saints that are in this house at this time right now. I thank you for the group that's coming. I thank you for the herd of saints that you are leading this way, Lord God. I thank you that Antioch is not going to be given over to the hands of the wicked one, but Antioch is going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise for that. We thank you for families. We thank you for single men and single women. We thank you, Father God, for those that are wealthy coming in. We thank you for those that are in poverty coming in. We thank you for those that are on the streets, Lord God, homeless and helpless right now. They're going to come in debt, discouraged, and they're going to come in, Lord God, downtrodden. But, Father, you're going to turn them into warriors for you. You're going to turn lives around for your glory, honor, and praise. And I thank you, Father God, that these that are here now are leaders of those tomorrow, Father. So continue to work your work. Continue to release the Spirit. Continue to release your anointing. Continue to pour out your blessings. Continue to open up doors. Give us doors of opportunity, and we stand in the doorway. Do I have anybody in agreement to stand in the doorway? We stand in the doorway tonight, Father, and we say that by this time next year, we will have, Lord God, that which we are pregnant with right now. For as soon as she believed, she became pregnant, Lord God. She conceived, Lord God. They conceived that very night. And we give you glory and honor and thanks, because right now, conception is taking place within the lives of your people. Right now, answers are coming. Right now, Father God, doors are opening. The eyes of our understanding are being enlightened. Our ears are attentive to what the Holy Ghost is saying. And Holy Ghost, we listen to you to speak. Pour out your love, pour out your grace, pour out your mercy upon the people of God. And we say this, Father, as we always do in closing, that you would bless your sons and daughters and keep them and make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them. Lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace. Your name be over them and their household, that you might bless them. That they may know the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Above all else, they may prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against them, because we are all the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The gates of hell can't prevail against us. We are the church triumphant. So I cover everyone in the precious blood of Jesus. Go with them, see them safely to their destinations. And as we get ready for this coming Friday, Yahweh, Father, I pray that you will be upon each and every young adult and youth that shall actively participate in ministry. Thank you for those that you're going to send out. Fill the house, Lord God. Fill it with your sons and daughters. Fill it with the ungodly. Fill it with the hungry and the thirsty, that they may come in, eat and drink, and be filled, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And for Saturday, as the special ops team goes out into the streets, Lord God, from 9 to 12, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over each and every one that's going to make themselves available. We thank you for the intercessors that are going to come and wail at these altars, this altar, Lord God, for those that are out there, as well as for the souls to come in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you that we're going to make great strides against the powers of this present darkness, that, Lord God, captives are going to be set free, that, Lord God, people are going to be saved. They're going to come into the knowledge of Jesus, and you're going to be glorified. The church is going to be edified, and the enemy is going to be terrified. We cover the streets, 18th Street, Lord God, in the blood. We cover Sycamore in the blood, Father God. We cover these corridors. We cover these areas, Lord God, where people are hanging out in the precious blood of the Lamb, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you. We thank you for what you're going to do. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody who agrees, say amen.